You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. In the last year and a half, most artists have had to reinvent themselves and change how they do business. Such was the case for our first guest, Mercedes Munoz, known for her work in ceramics. Hello, Mercedes. You are on mute.
Hi, Shelley. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Welcome to the show. I am so excited to talk with you about your new work and the story of how you've had sort of this glow up during the pandemic. But first, let's hear a little bit about you. Would you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like you said, my name is Mercedes. I am a ceramic and illustration artist, born and raised in Juneau, went to school, got a BFA in Montana, and moved back here and continued creating right away, finding a way to get my hands on clay, which is, you know, not an easy medium to work with and not an easy medium to find a space to work with. So right now I am currently working out of my home studio where I create hand-built and wheel-thrown functional porcelain forms. And porcelain is this really white, beautiful clay body that lends itself to creating detailed illustrations that shine through all the processes of creating. And the end result allows me to take a functional form and my love of illustration as well, and really meld those two mediums together and foster this connection to the present moment while I'm creating. And also that's kind of what I'm interested in when it comes to pottery as well. I think that when you're using something handmade, there's really a pull to be present, and I'm inspired to add a little bit of ceremony and, yes, a little bit of ceremony to every day.
Yes, I'm a big fan of your work, but I was wondering if you could describe it a little bit more for our audiences. What sort of final products do you end up with, and what are the sort of inspirations behind the illustrations that you do? What kinds of illustrations end up on them?
Yeah, well, let's see. The forms, probably the most common thing I make are mugs. I think everybody loves mugs, and they're one of those things that you can never have too many of, or at least that's for me. So I love creating mugs, but I also do other forms, goblets, pitchers, platters, anything that can be used in everyday life. And then as far as the illustrations, I tend to go back and forth between like playful illustrations of plant and animal life home to this region. And also I'm really inspired by just like patterns and geometric shapes. So I do a lot of line work, black and white line work on my pottery as well, and sometimes a juxtaposition of the two. So I'm inspired by a lot, but mostly the things that I'm seeing in my, you know, right outside my home studio here in Juneau. I'm an animal lover. I'm into gardening. I'm into, you know, we have chickens, so I'm just inspired by everything around me out here.
And we have some pictures up on our website, katoo.org/JunoAfternoon, of Mercedes in action and some of her work. Can you describe the process of working with ceramic and porcelain? What are some of the steps you have to take?
Well, sure, yeah. So first I start with a ball of clay, and either I'm forming it by hand through a machine that flattens it and then I can shape it, or I create it on the wheel. And recently I've created a video series. I partnered with Nathan Kelly through an award from the Alaska State Council on the Arts. But you can check that out on my Instagram or on my YouTube to see a more detailed glimpse of all the steps I take to make a single piece. But it's involved. There's the throwing, then trimming the foot, making a handle, creating the illustration on the piece itself, and then multiple firings and glazing techniques go into a final finished product.
So what is it about this medium that makes it your outlet for creative expression?
That's a good question. I think the biggest draw that I have to pottery, and I've kind of said this a little bit already, but it is so easy to, for one, go through autopilot every day. It's easy to get caught up in the busy moments of life. And especially when it comes to drinking and eating, they're one of these things that we can, you know, drink our coffee or eat a quick breakfast on the way to work, or, you know, not really sit down and even taste our food or, you know, be aware of what we're consuming. And I think that for me, pottery is an opportunity to slow that process down. And I, at least for me, when I am using something handmade, whether it's a coffee cup in the morning or a handmade plate while I'm eating dinner, there is no way that I can't be a little bit more present and aware of what I'm doing and the moment that I'm in. And I think that that's true for more than just me. So it's that connection that happens in everyday moments that I'm really inspired to, you know, just make a little bit more special and add more ceremony to.
I love that answer, and I can relate to it completely. Do you ever think about changing to something totally different, or is there like enough of a flow of new ideas to keep you going in ceramics and porcelain, you know, forever?
Oh, I think I definitely have a lifetime worth of learning and exploring to do. And I've heard that of other ceramic artists too. It's just a medium that, you know, I can't, you know, I don't think people, you know, say, oh, I've made it, I know everything now. There's always something to learn, and that's something that's really exciting about the medium. But I have always been, you know, before I got into working with clay, I have always been into drawing and painting. And that's something that I've been exploring more in recent years, and something that I'll continue to moving forward as well. I can't see myself ever not doing pottery, but I will continue to bring that 2D piece into my process more and more.
Well, that's good news, because I know a lot of people want your work. But when COVID hit, you were actually in the middle of exhibiting work at the Jack, and you had to shut it down early, quickly. How did you feel in that moment?
That was, you know, that was actually the first time for me that it really sunk in what the pandemic was and what was happening. When that, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, everything is shutting down. That was really the first time someone had told me like things are shutting down, when I heard that was happening. And it was a strange time for sure. I had actually just had a baby, so I wasn't planning on doing any pottery for a little while anyway. I took the summer off, and then later that fall, I had partnered with Amalga Distillery, the awesome people up there, to do a project to create some mugs for their neighborhood kits. And they helped me promote myself as an artist, which they have for years. They've been super supportive of me and tons of other artists, and kind of inspired me to work on cultivating a virtual following. And so that was kind of, I think, the Kickstarter for me moving to a more virtual platform. And then simultaneously, I was working on creating a website so that I could showcase my work that way. Creating a website has always been one of those things that I was just like, oh, I don't have time for it right now, I'll do it later. And then when the pandemic set in, I was like, well, I'm not going to be exhibiting, so what else am I going to do? This is the perfect time. And then it was just kind of like a perfect storm between creating the website, you know, doing that project with Amalga, and then kind of like something clicked with me where I was like, people are still wanting this connection. They're still wanting to see art and be a part of art, but it has to be done in a different way now. And it felt like an opportunity that I just didn't want to squander. So I threw myself all in to creating. Really, now it's been, I mean, since I've been doing it virtually, it's been almost a year now, and I've been releasing small bodies of work every few months to keep that consistency. And yeah, it's been going really well. I'm now, you know, still delivering a lot of work throughout Juneau, but I've started shipping outside of Juneau and all over the country too. So it's been a whirlwind and so exciting and such a lemonade out of lemons kind of situation for me.
Do you feel like you're on a new level with your work now? Do you have, it seems like maybe you have some increased interest or higher demand for your work, requests for more work, custom work. How are you handling all that?
I think I've been putting in, you know, a ton of time. So it is something that I'm pursuing on a professional level. It's not, you know, I'm not doing just like a little exhibit here and there anymore. I'm at this every day. And so it very much is my full-time profession, and treating it that way, I think, is allowing me to expand my creativity, come up with new ideas, be excited about the process, be excited about sharing with my community. So I think just, you know, I think with any art form, the more time you put into it, the more you're going to see come out of it.
That's great. Well, your next release is this Saturday, and it will actually be in person at your studio. What do we need to know if we want to attend?
Yeah, so all the details are on my Instagram or website too. My website is MercedesMunozCeramics.com, and my Instagram is Mercedes Munoz Art. That's my handle. But I am opening up my studio. I had already been planning to host the event outdoors. So with the increase in COVID cases here recently, I have been able to put in place some safety protocols so that it's going to be much more spread out than we had originally intended. But that is my plan still, to have everybody out here. And I will be limiting the number of people that can shop at one time, but you'll be able to come through, see the work that I've been creating for the last few months now. And this is probably the biggest collection of work that I've released. So for anybody who's been wanting to see my work in person or has been wanting to get more than one piece, I'd say that this is a really great opportunity. And I am so excited to see everybody in person. I have loved doing these online releases, and I'm super grateful for the support that I've had, but I am also so excited to see everybody again. It's been a long time.
And I think everybody's ready to see you too and see your work in person. I know it's so nice to be able to look at a piece up close, maybe touch it if that's allowed. So,
oh yeah, totally. It'll be fun. We have a huge tent, so we are prepared, rain or shine. And it's going to be fun. I'm really excited.
Well, thank you for talking with me today. Thank you for opening up your home studio this Saturday to your fans and lovers of ceramics and your art. And it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners before we say goodbye today, Mercedes?
Thank you. I'm just super appreciative to be on here talking with you. I'm appreciative for our community. That I could say a million times. Juneau and Alaska is an amazing place to live if you're an artist. It's incredibly supportive, and I feel so fortunate to be part of this community.
Well, we're lucky to have you, and it's been great to talk with you too. We used to see you a lot, and now I just realize it's been a very long time since we've had you as
yes,
a guest on the show. So
it has been. Thank you so much, Shelley.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for coming on the show, and lots of luck with your exhibit this weekend, your release.
Thank you.
Up next, it's said that classical music concerts are 98% rehearsal and 2% performance. So coming up, a chance to taste some of the icing on the cake. Music lovers, mark your calendars for the Juneau Piano Series. Here's Bird Note. Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years with 7 cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com. Our next guest today, John Hayes, is one of the founders of the Juno Piano Series. He grew up in Juno and returns to share his talents and those of other performers, his way of giving back and showcasing a level of performance that's a special treat for music lovers in Juno. Hello, John, and welcome to the show.
Hello, thanks so much for having me here.
Yeah, so you'll be giving a concert on August 1st, but today you're here to talk about the first concert in the series, which features Joseph Youngin, who we were just listening to there, the intro music, and Joseph will be at Centennial Hall this Saturday. Before we get into that, however, can you tell us a little bit about the Juno Piano Series and your role in it?
Yeah, so the piano series started in 2018, but really the year before that, 2017, there was a year-long fundraising effort to get money so that Jack could purchase a new piano. And that was very successful. I think about like over $10,000 was raised for that. And then like donors like matched that and ended up having like 20 some thousand dollars to get this nice piano that we have for the Arts Council now. And it was so fun having this like year long of piano recitals, because there's not a lot of music organizations that focus on classical solo music. There's pianists here and there, but so I was kind of sad thinking like, oh, this piano might not get used too often. So I just decided to make a series happen so that it gets used at least a few times a year.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure the piano appreciates that.
Yes.
As do the audiences here, the piano lovers, classical music lovers, and more than that here in Juno. So thank you for that backstory. Will Joseph Youngin be playing on this, on the piano that you helped bring to town?
Yes, he will be.
Great.
I don't know exactly where the Schimmel piano has traveled to in the past year because of COVID stuff, but it is currently in Centennial Hall, and that's where he'll be playing. So,
well, can you tell us a bit about Joseph Youngin and what led you to invite Joseph and the other musicians to perform in this year's series?
Sure, yeah. Well, I don't know Joseph too well, but the thing is he went to the same undergrad school that I did, Southern Oregon University, and he was like 4 years ahead of me. So I remember I did one semester of exchange at Southern Oregon, and he was a senior, and he was just kind of a legend amongst all the music students. Like he's just like a very normal, personable, like nice person, but he's a virtuoso. Like he can play anything. He'd be practicing in the practice rooms and we'd all just be like, wow, like what are we doing? But yeah, he's so diverse too, right? He can sight read like any piece of music. So he does enormous amounts of chamber music and accompaniments for people. Like you can find dozens of videos on YouTube of him playing for other people. He went on to do a double master's program at Eastman School of Music in collaborative and solo piano. He then did the doctorate program of piano performance at Juilliard. And he's now a professor at Frostburg State University in Maryland. So he's no slouch at all.
I understand that for his performance, the piano will feature a unique tuning system. Can you say more about that? I don't understand what that means. I know what it means to tune a piano for it to be out of tune. I didn't realize there's different ways to tune a piano.
Sure. Even I don't know everything about it, right? Basically, in the 20th century, we have sort of standard equal temperament. And what that prioritizes is to make every key, like C major, G major, D minor, all that, sound basically the same with the relations between notes. But before 20th century, you had what was called well-tempered systems. And it basically is just, prioritizes other intervals more, and it has very slight differences between each key. So in other words, if you played one piece in C major, it would sound a certain way. If you played the same piece, but you did it in A flat major, it would have a very slightly different character to it. All 24 keys still sound great, but it just provides a bit more variety of sound. It's something that some people might not notice. I don't think people are going to be like, wow, that's weird, or necessarily, but and actually, it turns out Joseph is going to be doing the tuning as well.
That was actually going to be my next question. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a bit of an adventure figuring out the tuning. Unfortunately, I had a tuner that was going to come from Anchorage. They contracted COVID in the past couple weeks. They seem totally fine. They've like stayed in touch and they're like recovering out of it, but they couldn't travel for it. So very, very fortunately, Joseph is a competent piano tuner who's familiar with this specific tuning system. So I'm so happy he's able to do that, because otherwise it would just be what it is.
So I understand that. Another interesting thing about this, sorry if you said it already, but the well-tempered system is from 1799, so quite a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you know anything about the program, the pieces that he'll be selecting, because they must correlate with the tuning system, right?
Kind of. It's actually, well, the time range of the program ranges, the pieces range from like 1720s to 1940. So technically, like, Prokofiev is not a composer you would have a historical tuning on typically, but it works. It doesn't make it inappropriate at all. I think Bach, the pieces from about 1720, would have used some type of well-tempered system as well. I don't think anyone knows precisely which tuning system. There's like dozens of them. It's a fascinating topic for tuning nerds. But and also, there's always like concern that like key signatures with a lot of sharps or flats don't work as well. But again, the Chopin Barcarolle that he's going to perform is an F sharp major, and that is six sharps. And it works great. It doesn't suffer at all with the tuning system. So,
well, Joseph couldn't be here today. We wanted to interview him, but he was not available. So I was wondering if you might answer this question for him, which is, what would be the most important or interesting piece on the program, if you happen to know?
Ooh. I think the Prokofiev Sonata. It's the largest work on there. So Prokofiev was Soviet-era Russian composer, and he wrote it in 1940. And, you know, it's kind of in the Soviet time, you know, the composers often had to write all this music that was like very flattering to the state. I think during earlier the year he composed the sonata, he was commissioned to write this opera called Cheers, and it was like all about celebrating Stalin. But then when you get to like solo piano music, it's more like personal, like you have more control over it. And it's less, it's not designed to be pleasing to an audience so much, but is more of just Prokofiev's personal feelings, I think.
What do you personally love about Joseph Yungen's style, his performances, any of his work?
I think there's a certain seeming effortlessness to his playing. Some pianists can seem too easy, like they're not fully engaged with what they're doing. They're like, "Ooh, wow, look at that," and stuff happens. But then other pianists can be like, feel like they're working way too hard, and you kind of get like stressed out for them. I think he like sits in the middle there, where you know he's listening, you know he's like doing his best, but it, yeah, I don't know, he just has a confidence that I think the audience appreciates.
Well, it's so exciting that he's coming to town, to Juneau. Is this his first time?
Yes. He mentioned that he was here in 2006, but I don't know what that was for. Maybe vacation or something.
Great. Well, I bet the audience is very excited to see his performance, to see the performance of a virtuoso, to hear something played on a well-tempered tuning system. So John Hayes, founder of the Juneau Piano Series, thanks for all you do to bring these fine performers to Juneau. And we'll actually have you back next week to give us a preview of your concert at Centennial Hall on August 1st. But in the meantime, is there anything else you want to share with our listeners, or can you tell us where we might find out more information about the series?
Not much more to say. You can always find the Juneau Piano Series Facebook page, which gives the basic info for upcoming events.
And tickets.
And tickets, yeah.
Great. Excellent. Well, thanks again so much for being with me here today. We're going to hear a little bit of the Prokofiev piece now, and I will talk to you again next Wednesday.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Ahead on Juneau Afternoon, some of you may remember Tekla Waterfield as a kid on the stage of the Juneau Folk Festival. Fast forward to 2021, she's still performing and recording, and she joins us next to share some of her latest work. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. My next guest is singer and songwriter Tekla Waterfield, who grew up on the stages of Juneau and is now based in Seattle. Welcome back to the show, Tekla. Hi.
Hi. How's it going?
It's good. It's good. How's the summer in Seattle so far?
It's been really quite warm. I don't know if you guys have heard a bit about our weather here. Yeah. We just had a little bit of rain, and I think everyone was doing a little happy dance to have a little bit of our regular rain back.
Yeah, you know what it's like in Juneau when it gets too hot and too sunny and too dry for too long, people go a little nuts.
Yeah, totally.
Well, the good news is that you are cranking out the new music. You were on the show about 6 months ago talking about Trouble in Time, and I really enjoyed those tracks. And now you've got a new single. It sounds great as well. But before we get into that, let's hear a little bit about yourself. I know a lot of our listeners know you, but what's your connection to Juneau and the music scene here?
I grew up I was born in Anchorage, and we moved around a bunch, and my mom played in the folk festival circuits. So as little kids, my sister and I were running around at those, all the festivals, the Haynes Fair, and, you know, the Folk Festival in Juneau. And so we, I have a cassette somewhere of us singing with our mom, Fawn Waterfield. We were called, we called ourselves the Little Rascals. Yeah, it was just, you know, little kids and, you know, music and all that stuff. Definitely fond, lovely memories of childhood there. Yeah.
Do you come up for visits and performances, you know, when there's not a pandemic raging?
I've been up and performed there a couple times, but not as frequently. I usually, when I come up there, I'm kind of just like, I just want to hang out with my family, you know, and just kind of chill out. But I played the Haynes Fair a couple of years ago solo, and then I played at a local little coffee shop with my husband, and my sister played too for what was it? It was just like, I don't think they always did live music there, but they had us there for a special event that was just like in 2018, I think. So I guess I haven't been there. So I'm due to come back up soon and do something.
Well, perhaps you'll get to tour Alaska when your new album is out. Come On Jane, the first single from your upcoming third LP release, New Skies, which is due out September 24th. Come On Jane is out now. How did this project come to be?
Actually, we had intended to release this album in 2020. As we all know, a lot of things happened at that time. So we kind of were like, okay, put it on hold. The Trouble in Time record was being written during 2020. Like all those songs were like, just like kind of a spur of like creative, you know, energy that it just felt right to like put the focus on those songs and that record, since they were so much about like, you know, what was going on politically and with the pandemic and everything. So, this album, this new one, we decided to just kind of hold off on that and focus on the one Trouble in Time that we put out earlier. So this one was really almost ready to go, but it also, this album has a lot more sort of like really sort of playful kind of summery kind of pop songs. And then when we were going to put it out, it was like heavy times were happening, you know, and it just didn't feel right energetically either. So yeah, so all of those reasons. But we recorded it, most of the tracks, as a live band as part of a recording grant through this wonderful place in Seattle called the Jack Straw Cultural Center. And they do these, they have a recording studio and lots of, you know, they do a lot of literary stuff, but also music. We were able to get some assistance and record as a band, kind of the basic tracks. And then we went and took a lot of, did a lot more at our little home studio that we have, my husband and I. So yeah, excited to share them.
Well, let's listen to the single now. Here's Come On Jane from Tekla Waterfield.
Again. St. Jane, who's your friend? Sitting there next to you with the long dark hair whispering words in your ear. St. Jane, where you been? Haven't seen your face around. I've been looking for your eye. Turned all gray, and he hadn't a whole lot of new things to say. Took his hand, said, come with me, and we walked merrily through the streets as we hummed a tune. Have you seen our friend Jane? Haven't seen her lately. He said, no, I have not. So we kept walking along, saw some fish hopping out of the sea. The sky was filled with stars, and the smile.
If you're just joining me, I'm Shelley Delaney, here talking with Tekla Waterfield, Seattle-based musician, originally from Alaska. That was her new single, Come On Jane. It's so sunny and upbeat. Tekla, tell us about where you were sort of at headspace-wise. What was going on? What were you doing? How were you feeling when you got the inspiration for that song?
Yeah, I tend to have a little like almost right down the middle introvert and extrovert side. And there's times where like, you know, I think a lot of people, yeah, where you like people just think you're like so social because they see you out and about and they think that you're just like always on. So I was thinking about like, oh, I should probably go out and like engage with the world or do something or go like be a part of something. But then I just, I'm like, no, I'm just going to sit here and watch TV. And then just all the things like getting stuck in a rut, those kind of feelings, or like feeling like, oh, I can never put any money in the bank, I'm always broke, you know, those kind of feelings of like being frustrated with yourself. And so the character Come On Jane is really about me, or like it could be about anyone who experiences those feelings of like, I should be doing more, I should be doing better, I'm not saving any money, all I do is watch other people's lives on TV, what about my life, like why am I not, you know, so those kind of feelings. But but I picked the character Jane, the name, because one of my favorite songs ever of all is Sweet Jane, and I especially love the Cowboy Junkies version of it. And I don't know, it just kind of, it's one of those things. It was one of those ones that just kind of came out, you know, like you hear about songwriters say that sometimes it's like some songs just like, they just come out, and some you like struggle and you just can't. But it was one of those ones that the lyrics were all just coming out. And it was just like this, these friends are going like, hey, what happened to our friend? Have you seen her? Like, what's going on? Nope, haven't seen her. You know, just this kind of like story about these people sort of tripping along and, yeah, that's kind of the gist of it. And I do want to say shout outs to my husband, Jeff Fielder, who's my musical partner. He did a lot, like it's his production ideas, totally. Like I'll take a song and be like, you know, I'm not sure exactly what I want. Sometimes I am, but sometimes I'm just like, I'm not sure. And he's like, how about a little Stevie Wonder funkiness on here? And like, we've been listening to Wolfpack a lot too, mm-hmm. those guys. And yeah. they have those, you know, those kind of really funky kind of organ sounds. And so there's a lot of kind of, you know, that vibe and his influence on there as well. So, yeah.
Oh, it's interesting because Sweet Jane, Cowboy Junkies version, was the very first thing I thought of as soon as like the lyrics kicked
really?
In on that single.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. So if that's awesome. what you're going for, you nailed it.
Obviously, very different vibe, like song wise, but
yeah,
I don't know. It's yeah, that's funny. That's funny that you thought of it. Cool.
So how does this single fit in with the sound of the rest of the album?
It's Well, there's a couple of songs that are sort of kind of this, I don't know, it's kind of like poppy. I don't know exactly, you know, kind of more poppy, like folk pop, I guess. I don't know. And then there's a handful of tunes that are pretty stripped down, more like Trouble in Time was, like sort of more, yeah, like sort of raw sounding, like upright bass and guitar, acoustic guitar, and not a bunch of like production to them. So there's a little bit of that in there as well. And yeah, so this song, this album, I would say is a little bit more sort of eclectic than that, than the earlier album, in that there's, you know, there's some songs that are just more filled out and more produced. And then there's some that are just like really more sort of like, you know, stripped down and bass, like, you know, acoustic-y vibe. So yeah. A lot more sort of kind of playful, like just playful energy on this album than the earlier one, which was, like I said, was just, we were really feeling like the energy of everything that was happening in the world. And this one's kind of more like, you know, life is happening. It's just like happy, sad, you know, all of the range of emotions, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. We're getting back to it.
Yeah.
You'd mentioned that your husband, Jeff Fielder, that you two work together on music a lot, and that there's some advantages of having him as a resource and a partner. So what was Jeff's role on this new album, New Skies?
Well, he's a natural leader type of musician. So, and he's the guy that, you know, can play everything, and he just like plays it really well, and you're like, why are you so good? You know,
so annoying.
I'm like struggling to play guitar. No, I mean, I can play guitar, okay, but yeah, he'll just like pick up an instrument and he's like ding 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 ding. I'm like, okay, but yeah, no, it's awesome though, because he'll, you know, I know now, having been with him for a while, like a long time now, almost like 6 years now, that I'll have the idea, you know, like I always have the ideas and the lyrics and the melody and the song, and then I go to him, and I know that between us we can come up with all kinds of different ways for it to go, what like the direction, the feeling, the inspiration. And if I say, oh, I'm really feeling like, you know, Neil Young vibes on this one or whatever, he's like, got it, you know, like he is just a master at sort of like the arranging, you know. And actually he is the one that came up with that, the way that the intro riff goes, bum 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 ba da da bum bum ba da 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 bum. So when I originally wrote the song, it just did the chord progression. It didn't have that little break. So I, you know, that's the kind of stuff that Jeff does, where he just brings all of this production idea, instrument knowledge, you know, and his vast history of like his knowledge of music. Like he's a musicologist, I would say, or whatever. So yeah, it's awesome to work with him. When we went into the studio with the band doing the live tracking, in terms of his leadership, he's also like the guy that's kind of just like directing everybody, like, you know, just like da 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 da, which is such a relief for me, because I'm a sort of like reluctant leader, you know, like I'm more of a thinker and sort of, you know, it helps me a lot to have someone like him around to kind of help me to kind of lean on, you know, a lot. So I feel like we work really well together in that we complement each other that way.
Oh, that's great to hear. Sounds like you're well matched in music and in life.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Tekla, for talking with me today. I just wanted to ask before we say goodbye, how can we get a hold of your new single? I mean, I found it on Spotify, so I imagine it's on the streaming platforms. And then when your LP comes out, where will that be available?
Yeah, so the LP will be September 24th. And if any of you listeners happen to be in the Seattle area, September 21st, we're doing a release show at the Tractor Tavern in Ballard. And it should be a really good time. We're playing with a gal by the name of Kelly McFarland. She's a San Francisco-based artist, really great. She plays banjo, super cool. And yeah, it'll be up on the, you know, the interwebs, all the things, you know, iTunes, Bandcamp is a good way to go to get it directly from artists. If you aren't familiar with that, it's like, if you go on Spotify, it's great. It's good to have the, you know, showing that music is being played, like indie artists, that it's being listened to on Spotify. But in terms of like financially supporting artists, it's always, if you can, it's best to like get the album from Bandcamp, because it's like the percentage that you're paying the artist is, you know, it's going mostly to the artist. So Bandcamp is good. And I just want to say really quick before we head off the phone that also, if you're in the Juneau area, my mom is going to have an art show in December, Fawn Waterfield, and it's through the Juneau, I guess it's the, is it Arts and Humanity?
Yes. I think that's Juneau Arts and Humanities Council.
Yes. And my sister, Kima Waterfield, just put out a book, a memoir. It's called Inside Passage. All the creative stuff happening in my family. But if you guys are into memoirs or, you know, the paintings, you should check those things out.
Yeah, we'll have Fawn give us a call. We'll get her booked for an interview.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yes, will do. Okay.
Well, thanks so much, Tekla Waterfield, for speaking with me
thanks,
today.
Shelley.
Congratulations on the new single and the new album, and I look forward to hearing more of it when it comes out.
Thank you.
You guys
so
take
much.
Care.
Have
You're
a
welcome.
Wonderful day. Okay.
You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.